Well, it is the Lord's Day. It is past 11 o'clock, and it is time to begin our worship. We're glad to be together on this Lord's Day to do just that, because God calls us to it. And this is what He says in His Word. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. So we'll sing His praise together. Hymn number 70, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Hymn number 70. God, we do come to You this morning, recognizing again that You are the King of Heaven. You are the one who rules from eternity over all that You have made. You alone are God. You have given us life and breath. You've given us blessings. And we come to thank You for all that You've done for us, especially giving us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank You that we can sing about You as the God of grace. It is grace that we need. We look into ourselves and we find there that which is sinful and that which is wrong and that which fails. And yet as we look to heaven, we find in You all that is good and right and true. And we pray, O gracious God, that all that You are would come to us. And all that You have for us in Jesus would be given to us. And that we, by Your Spirit, would become more and more like Your blessed and eternal Son, who is perfect in every way. And and we want to be like Him. So we come this morning with our praises, with our petitions, and we would ask that You might bring Your blessing to us, as well as Your Holy Spirit among us, to give to us hearts to praise You and to thank You and to adore You, because You are worthy. And for all of this, we'll give You thanks as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read from the Gospel of John, in chapter 4. Gospel according to John, chapter 4. As we read through the Gospels, we see the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with individuals, and He deals with individuals as individuals. And it's important that you should know this. Jesus was not like many evangelists today who have a pattern or a written statement that they give to everybody. Jesus didn't deal with each individual the same way, but dealt very differently with each one. There was Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, and Jesus spoke to him in terms that he should have understood about new birth. And there he was with the rich young ruler, speaking to him of his own covetousness. And with everyone, he dwelt differently. And with everyone, he had a very personal message, but it was all to direct them to himself. And it was to show everyone that he is the Savior of the world. He's the one that they need, and he will save them if they would come to him. And so the manner was different in every case. The approach was different to every individual, but the message always the same. And here he is to this woman of Samaria. And Jesus comes to her at a well and speaks to her about living water. And as he does, we understand what he means by living water. And we know that Jesus alone can meet the needs of our souls. And souls get thirsty. Jesus can meet the thirst of our souls with his living water. John 4, verses 1 through 14. Hear God's word. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? As well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." I'm thankful today for that living water that Jesus gives to all who come to him for it. We'll sing about that in hymn number 269. 269 is a hymn that gives praise and thanks to God for his goodness to his people, his church, described here in Old Testament terms as Zion. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. Notice stanza 2. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Jesus gives us living water. Hymn number 269. Father, we do come to you this morning because Not only have you created us, and not only have you redeemed us in Jesus, you've given life and breath physically, but life and breath spiritually. And we come to you because you are the source of every good thing. Every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so you are the giver. And it is your nature to give because you are love and you are gracious. And we thank you that we've been the objects of your grace, even as you've come to us in Christ with the gospel, with pardon for all our sins, with daily cleansing. And yet there are so many blessings that we receive from you day by day, for which we thank you this morning. We thank you for that living water that takes away the thirst of our souls, and that living bread upon which our souls feed and are nourished. We thank you that all that we need we have in Jesus. So we pray for grace then to draw near to him and receive from you through him all that you would give us. May we come to you empty-handed, even as beggars, to seek from you all that we need, knowing that there's nowhere else to go. There's no other source of blessing but you. We pray then for the people that you've gathered here this day. Many needs are represented here, and every one of us is conscious of weakness and failure and sin and trial. And yet we come to you and pray that your grace will be given to us in such a way today as to know again of your great love to us, of your power to strengthen us, of your love and mercy to forgive us. We come to you again for all that we need. And we pray that we might receive it this day again through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many not here today, and we pray for them. We think of Rick as he's away preaching, that you'll bless him. We think of Emily as she's away in another country visiting. We pray for her. We pray also for Henry as he recovers from a heart attack, that you'll be near to him and graciously deal with him, body and soul. And others not here for whatever reason, we pray that you'll give strength and grace. But we who are here this morning, may we know the very presence of the Lord Jesus with us. May we know that we're coming to him today for all that he can give us and all that he can do for us, because he is the giver. We pray that you might equip us for the days that lie ahead, that you might give to us not only what we need to survive in this world, and not only what we need to draw near to you and to serve you, but we pray that as we walk through our days in this world, that we would continue to be near to Jesus, and that we would be free from sin, and that we would be holy, and that we would be all that you would have us to be for Christ. Bless us all to that end, we ask. We pray for our family members who are not safe, that you bring them to Jesus. We pray for our neighbors who are not safe, that you bring them to Christ. We pray for this very village of Hicksville and all the neighborhoods represented here, that you would do a great, wonderful work everywhere, bringing men and women to Jesus. Do this in our great nation everywhere. We pray in every city, in every state, do great things, causing the gospel to be heard in power by your Spirit, bringing many to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The last several Wednesday evenings, we've been looking at the introduction to the book of Revelation. And there's a great doxology there to Jesus, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And there's a song that is taken from that very passage. We sang it for the first time Wednesday night. We'll sing it now. You can learn it. 714. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin, And to him be the glory forever. Amen. 714. Turn to the very last page of the Bible this morning, Revelation chapter 22. The last book, the last chapter, the last page, the last few verses, beginning at verse 17. Revelation 22 and verse 17. Hear the word of God. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray for God to help us understand his word this morning. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray that you will direct our hearts to you and to the Lord Jesus, and by your Spirit help us to see things that are hidden from our physical sight, but may we see spiritually this morning the realities that are around us. May we draw near to you, our great God and Father, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, by the work of your Spirit, using your word among us this morning. Bring us great comfort and encouragement and instruction, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something very special about an ending of any book that we might read, or the end of a visit with friends, or the end of a year, the end of a series of studies in school when we come to graduation. There's something significant about the end of anything. And we're going to see some very significant things as we come to the end of Scripture. And there are four significant things this morning to help you in your service to Christ and your walk with the Lord Jesus as you go through this world. And the first is an invitation. Look at verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." The Bible ends with an invitation. Notice the word "come" repeated three times. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." Let him who thirsts, "Come." Invitation. We find invitations all throughout Scripture. There are some very famous ones in the book of Isaiah. God says in the very first chapter, "Come to me, let us reason together." Then there's that wonderful invitation in chapter 55 of Isaiah. "Come to the waters, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yea, buy wine without money and without price." And there's this invitation all through Scripture to come. Everyone is invited to come. Notice from whom the invitation comes. Who gives the invitation? It's an invitation that comes from two parties: the Spirit and the bride. The Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God. The bride, throughout the New Testament, is a picture, reference to the church of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's an invitation that goes out to the whole world from the Spirit of God and from the people of God, the Spirit and the bride. And that's encouraging for us for a lot of reasons. Number one, it encourages us to know that we have a part to play in this great mission of bringing men and women to Jesus. We have an invitation to give to people. Come, as Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As he said to the woman at the well, "I have water to give you, just ask me for it. Well, we have a part then, we have a mission in this world. But we're not alone in this mission. The Holy Spirit of God is with us. And He doesn't do it alone, He does it with us. And we don't do it alone, we do it with Him. And that gives us confidence as we go about our mission. Because we're in this world to give out this invitation. Once you have responded to the invitation, then you have the wonderful privilege of inviting others to Jesus, to this living water. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. That's you and me as we hear the words of the prophecy of this book. The very first chapter of Revelation is a benediction, a blessing promised to those who hear. And so all through this book, the reading of it, we've been hearing what we're being told. And he says, you who hear the words of this book, give the invitation. Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. So the invitation is from the Spirit and the Bride. God, the church, working together. To whom does the invitation come? Who is invited? Well, it goes out to everyone. The invitation is for everyone. Look what it says. Him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It's to all who want it. And so the invitation goes out to everyone. And our great privilege is to tell to everyone in the whole world, whoever will listen, that there's living water for them, there's a Savior for them. And notice there are no prerequisites. It simply says, if you're thirsty, come. If you desire, come. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to put forth any effort. No religious duties need to be done before you can receive the living water. You just ask for it, and He gives it to you. Let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life, that's what's being offered. The water of life that gives to us eternal life, a relationship with God that lasts forever, forgiveness of sins, all of them tied into this great picture, the water of life. So here's an invitation, and the Bible ends with an invitation, and that's an encouragement to us to go everywhere, to invite everyone to come, because Jesus makes an offer, living water to all who desire it. But notice there's a warning also, verses 18 and 19, and it's very instructing that not only does the Bible end with an invitation, but it ends with a warning, verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Very severe warning to any who would add to the book or take away from it. Now, throughout history, there have been those who have tried to add to Scripture. There are those who have tried to add to Scripture their own writings and claim that they are divinely inspired, and that they have a place next to Scripture to show us the way to God. You all know about the Quran, a man named Muhammad, centuries after Jesus came and after this was written. Muhammad came claiming that he was given divinely the Quran. It was Joseph Smith who claimed to have discovered the Book of Mormon. It was Mary Baker Eddy, who wrote Science and Health, with the key to the scriptures. And whether it's Islam or Mormonism or Christian Science, so-called, or churches that exist today that put tradition and church fathers on a par with scripture, it's all either adding to it or taking away from it. And there's a warning to those who do it. There are plagues, and there's a removal from the book of life for anyone who either adds to scripture or takes away from it. What does that do for you and me? Well, it gives us confidence in the message that we have. I've gone a couple of dozen times or more around the neighborhood with invitations, house to house. Sometimes Jonathan has accompanied me, sometimes others have accompanied me. And we go with gospel tracts and invitations to church, and I always somehow feel like eyes are on me, and, oh, there's one of those cultists, they're thinking. Because we know of cult groups that go door to door with their false message, and I sometimes feel like one of them. But here is a confidence that we have that though others come with their false messages, we come with the only true message of hope, because it's given to us from Jesus himself, this invitation to take the water of life. And we have confidence in it because everything that came after this is false. He says, to everyone who adds or takes away. And there's a warning to all who would do so. What does that tell us? Those who come with the Book of Mormon, or those who come with the Quran, or those who come with Science and Health, or those who come with any other religious book, we know the message is false. If we're told to, anything that's added to Scripture is false. So we don't have to feel like them. When we come to people with the gospel, we don't have to feel like another religious peddler. We don't have to feel like one of the cultists. Because not only do we have an invitation given to us by Jesus, but we also know that every other message is false. Because it's added to the truth of Scripture. So there's an invitation. And there's a warning. And then there's a prediction in verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The fact that there's an invitation gives us confidence about our mission. The fact that there's a warning gives us the confidence about our message. The fact that there's a prediction gives us confidence about our vindication. Because the one to whom we invite people, the one of whom we speak, is the one who is coming again. And we tell people that Jesus is the only way to God, and we tell people that he's the only Savior of the world, and we tell people that if they'll come to him, he'll give them living water. And sometimes the invitation is refused. Sometimes the gospel message is opposed. In some places of the world, those who bear this invitation are persecuted, put to death. Because those who have added to the book or are taken from it become the persecutors of those who simply come with the message of Jesus. But this prediction gives us confidence with regard to the future and confidence about the one of whom we speak, because he's coming. And it gives us confidence about a vindication, because when Jesus comes, the whole world and all the intelligent beings of the universe will know without a doubt that he is the only Savior of the world. And they've rejected him to their own peril. But he's coming. And we're going to report to him. So there's a motivation. A motivation for us to give out the invitation and to not care about the false prophets and the false teachings that are out there with us. Just tell the message, give out the invitation. Because Jesus is coming and we're going to report to him. And when he comes, there will be rewards for those who have faithfully served him. We're looking forward to that day. All eyes are upon him because he's coming. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So as we invite people to come to him, and as we refuse to mix our message with the falsehoods of this age, we look forward to the coming of Jesus, who will vindicate all those who have faithfully served him. And so when we go to the homes in the neighborhood with gospel invitations, or when you go to people that you know in your neighborhood or in your families who are not saved, and you tell them they need Jesus, and even if they refuse your invitation, you know that one day you will be vindicated, and one day you will be congratulated, and one day you'll be rewarded by Jesus. And knowing that makes it all worthwhile, this prediction that he is coming. And then finally, there's a benediction. Verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And let me say to you this morning that this has to be encouraging to you to know that the last word of the Bible is a word of benediction. It's a word of grace. The Bible closes with a benediction. Grace to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The last word is not warning. The last word is not repent. The last word is not I'm displeased with you and I'm going to judge you if you don't make things right. The last word of the Bible is a benediction. And that should encourage you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Reminds us of what Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The great promise of his presence with us. And now this great benediction, the promise of his grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What is grace? Well, grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. And it's God doing for us what we cannot do. In other words, whether we need to be saved from our sins, whether we need power to live holy lives, whatever it is we need, it comes from him. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. And it's God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So here's confidence for us as we go through this world. We're conscious of sin and failure. We're conscious of weakness. But no matter, there's grace. And if you take the invitation and bring it to people who need living water, and if you go even in spite of the falsehoods that are in this world, looking to the fact that Jesus is coming again, grace will be with you as you do. It's his promise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, I'm so thankful for this because as you are conscious of failure, of sin, of all the things that could get us down, we struggle with trials, all sorts of things in this life that bear us down and discourage us, make life difficult. But there's grace. God will not leave you alone in your trial. He'll not leave you alone in your sin and temptation. He'll not leave you alone in your weakness. There's grace. God giving to you what you do not deserve, and God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What a cheerful way to end the Bible. And we want to take that promise with us every day. So then, there's something for us to do. There's an invitation to give people. There's something for us to beware about. Beware of the falsehoods that are around us. Don't be taken in. Don't think that you need to read and study the Quran to know if it's true or false. You don't need to, because this tells you that it's false because it's added to Scripture. Don't think you need to read the Book of Mormon to find out if it's true or false. You don't need to read the Book of Mormon because this tells you it's false. Comes after Scripture. Don't think you need to read Science and Health or the Key to the Scriptures or any of the Hindu writings or anything else. You don't have to go to the religious section of the library and read all the religious books that have ever been written to find out if this is true. Because Jesus says, after giving his invitation to come to him for living water, anyone who adds to that is false. So without even reading those other religious books, you know they're false. Because they've added to Scripture. Something for you to do. Give an invitation. Something for you to be aware of. The falsehoods. Something for you to look forward to. The coming of Jesus. And something to support you. Day by day. It's the grace that comes from Jesus Christ himself. In other words, the one who died for you and rose for you, the one who lives in heaven for you as your mediator, he has grace for you every day. So let us live our lives with confidence. Confidence in our mission, the invitation we give. Confidence in our message. It's the true one, as opposed to the falsehoods. Confidence in our vindication, because Jesus has come. And confidence in our support, because we have grace. May God help us and encourage us. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we come this morning to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you might help us to be faithful messengers of this invitation. That all we know will hear from us these blessed words come. And help us not to be deterred by the falsehoods around us. Even those who peddle religious falsehoods and imitate what we do, may we not be put off by them. May we with boldness and clarity give out our invitation. Come to Jesus for living water. And then help us to keep our eyes on Christ and his soon coming as our great hope and vindication for the future. And help us to live by the grace that he has for us. Day by day, coming to him who is the source of grace and who promises it to us. And for this we give you thanks as we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with hymn number 393. 393. This may seem like an odd choice for a closing hymn, and it's one you haven't sung before, and yet it's a hymn of invitation, and it sets before us the message of verse 17 that we read together. Come to Jesus for living water. And as you sing this, I want to you to picture yourself taking this invitation to those who need to hear it with great confidence that it is the only message from the only Savior, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and Jesus will give you grace. But I want you to see also stanza 4, which reminds us that the invitation is given to everyone, and there are no prerequisites to receiving God's mercy. And that's the beauty and the wonder of grace. He says, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. No prerequisites. Stanza 4. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising being. And I think there's great encouragement in knowing that the message we have for people, this invitation from Jesus, is so very simple. He really means it when he says, come. And that's all you have to do is come. He'll do the rest. You just come to him by faith. You receive the living water that he has to give you. You receive from him pardon for sin. You receive from him everything he wants to give you. That's the nature of the invitation. And so we say to everyone, let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. And so he says, let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. God make us glad for the invitation we have to give to sinners everywhere. And may we thank him for the grace we have even now to live for him. 393. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for what Jesus will do for any sinner that comes to him. We thank you this morning that we've come to him. We thank you for the living water that we've drank, and we thank you that forever and ever we'll live in your presence together. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the pardon we have in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you too that there's this wonderful invitation for everyone to come. May it be in our hearts and on our lips, this gracious invitation of the Lord Jesus himself. We thank you that Jesus can do helpless sinners good because he's gracious. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen. Thank you.